Don't you just love it when you wake up early in the morning and you're able to start the day long before you wished you got up this morning? Yeah, that happened to me at 5 this morning. I was awake and ready, and I didn't get up, but I was up by 5:30, and I was so excited because I had a real problem come my way yesterday, and I wasn't sure how I was going to solve it. And then I went to bed, and the Holy Spirit touched me, gave me the solution. So then I couldn't fall asleep. I wanted to get right up and get on it, but I waited. And I'll take care of that tomorrow. Names are very important in this society. They enable us to distinguish one person from another. Now, there's other factors. I mean, size, shape, male, female. They kind of differentiate too. But names are good, because if I said Perlene, her face and attention comes to me. So that's good. And they were important in biblical days too. Biblical names had a very real meaning to the character of a person. They weren't just a name. We're going to look at a name today. Open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, chapter 11. The Heroes of Faith chapter. We're going to read all of verse 7 today. All of verse 7 we're going to read today. I'm going to wait, make sure everybody gets to Hebrews 11. Verse 7. Are you there, Charlie? Okay, 7. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Noah means rest. Or more specifically, it means quiet rest or resting place. Noah was the son of Lamech. And he was the 10th in the descent from Adam in the line of Seth. Lamech gave him that name, Noah, because in his eyes he foresaw that through Noah God would comfort the human race and partially alleviate the effects of the Edenic curse. Well, if you read the whole history of Noah, you will find that didn't quite happen that way. And Noah's name became associated with a catastrophic event instead of comfort for the whole world. And so we know at times our faith is put to the test. And not all tests are the same for all people. They're different. But we also know that through these trials, these tribulations, these tests of faith, Our faith is increased and strengthened. Now, Noah's faith was severely tried. Let's face it. This deluge that Noah was forewarned about, it could only take place by a miracle. There's no other way it could have happened. And for the next many years, you could say maybe 100 years, it's not all that clear, but about there, after the warning was given, for that 100-something years, right up till the very day, second, that prediction from God or promise from God started to be fulfilled, there was no warning. There was no premonition. And all during that time, Noah had to work at the monumental task of constructing the ark among the jeers and the taunts and the laughings of an ungodly world. What kept Noah going? What kept him going is the exact same quality that has to be in each one of us. It must be in each one of us. When the ungodly world is just ragging on us, and no matter what is said against us, we must obey God when he speaks to us. So we read, God told Noah, I'm going to flood the whole earth and all living flesh that breathes is going to die on the earth. Except Noah, Noah's wife, Noah's three sons, Noah's three sons' wives. That's it. 8 people. Everybody else is going to perish in the flood. Anybody calculate how many people were on the earth in Noah's day? More than today. Billions were on the earth. I didn't write it down, but if you take from Seth on, and every child averaging 4 children, and then those 4, 4, 8 becomes 16, 16, 30, it exponentially becomes billions of people in the generations that it took before Noah was born. So we've heard the story, or we've read the story more than once. I've read it more than once. Do we truly comprehend what transpired? I mean, really? Because God usually warns sinners before he strikes. He gives them a chance to repent, to turn around, to change their ways before he strikes. And our scripture said he forewarned Noah of something that has yet been seen. And Noah was a preacher. So he was told this, and he communicated it to everybody. It wasn't a secret. And he was sure everybody is going to despise him because of his message. I've read a couple of times from Genesis 1:1 all the way to the time of Noah. And you know what I did not find? a mention of anybody having a boat. There were no boats. That's why everybody made fun of them. What are you building this big boat for? What's rain? It never rained in the earth at that time. There was a protective canopy over the earth. And so there was no need for rain. And as he shared God's warning with him day in, day out, as he built the ark, they laughed at him. Water falling from the sky? That's ridiculous. But Noah, through his faith, believed God and began working on building a very large boat. Faith. Think about your faith right now. Is it the caliber of Noah's? If God literally spoke to you, like he did Peter, and say, come to me on the water, how many sitting here today would actually walk on that water? How many would build a boat in the desert? Noah's faith had influence on his mind and on his actions. It impressed his soul with what the title of this message is, Godly Fear. What is godly fear? It's not shaking in your boots because God's going to strike you dead. That's not what godly fear is. Fear is relation to God is reverence. It's understanding who he is and what he can do. And he's capable and willing to do it. It's the reverence a child has for his parents because they're his parents. It's the respect we have for the President of the United States, not because we like him, but because it's the position of the President of the United States. That's why the Bible says, pray for all those that are above you, because they're the ones that God put there. Faith works on the feelings that are suitable to what was revealed. If something good is revealed to you, then faith stirs up love. It stirs up desire. If it's something evil that you dislike, then it stirs up fear, anxiety. So Noah's faith excited a godly fear in him that motivated him to build the ark. Another thing I noticed in there when I read that, it doesn't say Noah argued with God. Lord, it never rains here. What do I need a boat for? Why does it have to be so big, God? Can it be small? Can't you shrink the animals so they'll fit into a rowboat? Now, he didn't have power tools like I have in my shop. I can cut and plane lumber and build a pretty good boat. I don't know if I could build it that big. He didn't argue. His faith silenced any objections he might have had. And he went right to work in earnest. I don't know what time of day God spoke to him, but I bet he was like me last night. okay, Lord, I'm ready to get going. And he started out building that boat. So the qualities that all Christians have to possess is godly fear and unquestioning obedience. Ooh, that's the hard one. Obedience. I was comfortable living in New Hampshire. I wanted to stay there. I liked it there. And God didn't speak to me. He spoke to Perlene. And he says, move to Oregon. Are you sure he said that, honey? These things go through our mind. But Noah, God said it. Noah believed it. And for the next 100 years, the sun rose every single day. There was no dark storm off in the distance, no thunder or lightning, and not even a little sprinkle shower to give a hint of the coming doom. Nothing. Everybody just carried on their lives like they have always done. The only exception was this crazy man that was out in the desert building this huge ark. This is a good time to bounce out of Hebrews into another scripture. Matthew 24, verse 37, and a couple after that. You know, Matthew 24 is the Sermon on that Mountain. Olivet Discourse, I think they call it. Matthew 24, 37. But Jesus is talking now. Not Noah and not me. Jesus is talking now. He says, as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came, took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. End of that scripture. Can you see the parallel here? Nobody believed Noah. They all perished. How many people today, some even Christians, do not believe those words of Jesus Christ? And when Jesus comes for his bride, there's no notice. Done. Just like that. The snap of a finger, the blink of an eye. Poof, it's over. He came and he took the church, the bride, the believers. Those that were watching for his return, and they went into the wedding feast. Which makes the parable of the virgin so much more loving in my heart. I love that. Which is Matthew 25, next chapter. And it's 13 verses, but I'm going to read them all because just think. Think about these verses and think about Noah building the ark, God's promise, I'm going to flood the earth. And think about the one I just read, the coming of the Son of Man will be just like Noah. And we have the parable of the virgins. 25, verse 1. The kingdom of heaven shall be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps but took no oil. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom's coming! Go out and meet him!" Then all those virgins, now all 10 here, rise up, trim their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Uh-oh, you know, give me some liberty here. Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and for you. You go to those that sell and buy it for yourself." And while, listen to this, verse 10, "And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open up to us.' But he answered, 'And surely I say to you, I do not know you.'" And then Jesus talks to the whole crowd, "Watch, therefore. You do not know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." The ones that were not ready for the bridegroom, they had to leave, and they had to go prepare themselves. And by the time they were prepared and they returned, the door was closed. Noah and his family were ready. And they entered the ark. And Genesis 7, verse 16 says, "And the Lord shut him in." Noah didn't close the door. The Lord shut that ark door. Because Noah would have opened it for those people screaming outside the ark. And God said, "I don't know them." Now, jump to the end of the book. Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. Jesus is talking to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, and he says to John, he says, "Write these things. Says he who is holy," he's talking about himself, "he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. When the Lord shuts the door, it is too late for anybody that is outside to come in." Now, Noah bore fruits of his faith. Our faith produces fruits. The first thing I think of when you think of Noah and what were the fruits of his faith was him and his family were saved, while the whole world of sinners perished. And I'm sure Noah thought long and hard on this coming event as he built that ark. "Why, Lord? Why me and my family? Why should we be the only ones saved from destruction?" I'm sure he was conscious of his own imperfections and his sins. And his family, they were sinners. Why should the Almighty bestow his mercy on them and them only and nobody else? But to relieve all these doubts and all these questions that Noah had, he had God's word. The word that had been made known to him, and his faith rested solid on that word. the solid rock. We sing that hymn. That's where Noah's faith rested. Because in verse 18 of Genesis 6, God says to Noah, I will establish my covenant with you. And you shall go into the ark, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And God's word was sufficient for Noah. He founded his faith right on that communication he had with God. And his faith remained firm and steadfast all throughout the severe trials he went through. God spoke to him. That's good enough. Is God's word good enough for you? Or does your faith wobble just a little bit when God gives you a seemingly impossible task? I say seemingly impossible because Scripture tells us in many places all things are possible with God. There is nothing impossible with God. Noah's task, an ark, 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, 30 cubits high. A cubit being from the tip of the finger to the elbow of the average man could be anywhere from 18 inches to 21 inches. If you go with the 18 inches, that's 450 feet long. That's 75 feet wide. That's 45 feet high. That's as deep as I'm going with the ark, because this is not a study of the ark. But the building of that ark of that size would be, in any age, in any circumstance, whew, great expense of time, work, and money to do that. But to these demands, Noah's faith was equal, and it didn't fail. And so there's always lessons in the Scripture that come to us, and there's a couple there that popped up. The first one was, there is justice as well as mercy, severity as well as kindness in Almighty God. The second one, which is a little harder to truly hang on to, is it's foolish, maybe even ruinous, to refuse to believe a thing just because it seems improbable to us or it's incomprehensible. Another one was the sacred scriptures announce the coming of events of such importance that all Christians must believe the announcement. It's not false. God's word is true. And the last one, a secure refuge is provided for man in view of these coming trials. And that refuge is adequate for all. It is open to all. And it's free for all. Free through Jesus Christ. And by him, we enter in by faith. Eternal security and blessedness will be ours. Our Lord Jesus is the one that says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. John 14:6. Now there's an open door before all of us. But it's not going to be that way forever. Sin is like a prison cell. also with an open door to the self. And we can leave anytime we choose and walk the straight and narrow. But there's a great big comfy chair in there and a widescreen TV and a refrigerator full of anything you want to eat and drink. Because Satan makes us so comfortable in that prison cell that there's no desire to leave. But the day's coming, unexpected, when the Lord will slam the cell door shut. And it'll be too late. At that point, the environment in the cell will change. Seek the Lord now while you still can. Lord Jesus, we hear your words this morning, and we pray for increased faith, God-fearing faith, enduring faith, that no matter what is before us, trials, tribulations, impossible tasks, none of it will waver us because we believe your word. And if you said it, it's good enough for us. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen.